Golf Talk America is brought to you in part by Club Corp, the world leader in private clubs. Go to clubcorp.com for more information.
The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on pgatour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, Monday, October the 28th. And a big, big day, a big celebration for one Tiger Woods, because Tiger, boy, did he have a great weekend. And it was not a particularly great weekend for golf as far as bad weather and around the world and the different times. It was hard to find when exactly they were playing on the tour. But the first tour event, PGA Tour event in Japan, climaxes with an incredible finish. And the guy I guess everybody wanted to win, certainly in Japan, Tiger Woods, winning that tournament. He's so popular worldwide, but certainly in Asia and in Japan, very, very popular golfer. And so we'll talk about that and what happens there. It also has a lot of ramifications for the President's Cup coming up. We've been talking about that, and now it becomes very real as Tiger is just days away from naming the captain's picks that he's going to quite possibly put his own name in the hat there for that, and justifiably so after what he did. The pressure was on. He came through, and kind of like he always does. So a lot of great things that we'll be talking about today on the show. As always, Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios joins us. How you doing today, Frank? Pretty special weekend, wasn't it?
It was an awesome weekend. Good morning, Tim. It was a great weekend for sports. I was telling you in pre-show that Saturday was just brutal in my house because the college football and the World Series and the Zozo, and so it was like I burned up every TV in the house. I mean, it was incredible. iPads are running, TVs are running. It's been a great weekend for sports. And not such a great weekend for our friend Earl Forsey, whom hopefully he's getting better. He's been very, very sick. He's usually with us more, yes. But Earl's been kind of down for the count. And he probably doesn't feel too good today, given the fact that Washington had a 2-0 lead in the World Series.
The World Series against the Astros.
How do you do that? 2-0 away. You come home and you lose the next two. Now you're going back, and guess what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Oh my Lord, they could lose this thing,
and it's exactly what Earl is, you know, lives and dies by his teams in Washington, and this is exactly their fear, which is they're going to tease us. They're going to tease us into thinking something's going to happen here. The Redskins are going to, and then all of a sudden the floor drops out, and they're looking at one of the biggest. I think it's going to be one of the biggest collapses in World Series history that you can win, and actually fairly convincingly. They looked really good in those first two games in Houston.
Yeah, they did.
And then quite possibly lose the next four.
Well,
they've lost three in a row now, and they go back to Houston trailing 3-2 in that series.
Yeah. I'd like to get our crack research team down in Ponte Vedra on this, but how many teams have ever won the first three games only to lose the last four?
I don't know. I think that might have maybe never happened. I've got to look at that too. But I don't know that anybody's ever lost the first three. I'm trying to remember. There was some historic ALCS. I think when the Yankees came back, I think in 2009, they were down 3-0 in the ALCS against the Red Sox and came back. Yeah, I think I'm right. And then maybe I'm reversing it. Maybe the Red Sox came back from 3-0 down and then won the World Series. So I think it's happened in NL or ALCS. I don't know in a World Series anybody's ever lost three straight. First three, and then come back and won the World Series. But certainly, if the Nationals, after again, they have not been in the World Series since Grover Cleveland
80,
was in the office or something,
years.
Right?
I mean, come on, you know?
Yeah,
86
yeah.
years, I mean, something like that.
Nobody even knew they had a team back
Grover
then.
Grover who?
And
is that sure enough? That's Roger Cleveland's grandfather. That's what it is.
That's what it is. That's what it is. I know I was right on something there.
There you go. He's a wedge kind of guy. There you go.
But we will get Earl on eventually, and no matter what happens, we will venture down that road of World Series either horrific finish or dramatic victory for the Nationals.
Well,
we'll see what happens.
Our listeners will know when the theme song doesn't play the normal theme song and it comes on going, dun, dun, da-da, dun, da-da. They know that Earl's going to join us and the Washington has lost.
The Dirge.
So The dirge. Yeah. The death march. So
we'll
what a
see.
Weekend.
Back to
what a weekend.
The Zozo Championship.
Sunday night,
baby. In Japan. Yeah, it was, and as I mentioned, if you didn't keep up with it, the weather was horrific. There was a typhoon in Japan, and parts of that, not right there on the golf course, but it drenched the golf course, and so they had to completely cancel the second round. Then they had to play a third round, try to get into the fourth round. As we always know, they try to get as many holes as they can without spectators because the course conditions were so bad they didn't want – there were mudslides and all kinds of things happening all around there. So Tiger was saying it happens occasionally, but very, very rarely, that they basically keep all the fans, all that it's going to be is officials and caddies and golfers out on the golf course. And Tiger was saying how bizarre it is when you make a birdie and you kind of automatically – put your hand up to wave to the crowd, and all you get is crickets because there's no crowd. And nobody's cheering. He said it takes a while to get used to that.
Yeah, but this being the first event, the first PGA Tour event in Japan, the crowds were fabulous. The people were fabulous. Zozo, which is a great conglomerate, we talked about them in the last show, great sponsor. And it's the PGA Tour, you're going to see more and more over there in Japan. Rightfully so, because when you look at the fan base, the people that turned out, the people on the day that they could not enter the course lined the streets leading up to the players' entrance and waved and cheered the players on as they came in. Now, come on, how
cool
is that?
Just to show some support.
How cool is
that? Just to tell them that we'll be listening from the outside the gates. Yeah. We'll be cheering for you over here.
Yeah,
it was really neat. And as I've said, and we've said, Japan is gaga over Tiger. Yeah. I mean, they've lived Tiger. His mom comes from that part of the world, and so he's had fan base there since he was a kid, and it just continues to this day. And so they really did turn out, and it was a great place. A great win for him. It's his first win. Remember, he had, once again, another scope on his knee about, a month and a half ago, and recovers once again. This is his first start, if you will, in the 2019-20 season, and wins it. And he's done that several times where he's won his first start of the year. And he talked about, if you saw afterwards, Frank, really interesting when he was talking with Golf Channel, he was very admittedly saying, I'm not the same player. I can't do the things that I used to do. Now, that's not a shock to anybody, but it is a little bit surprising when it comes from somebody of Tiger's ilk, when they do admit, I don't have what I used to have. And guys are out there who probably have more skills than I have, more ability to hit the ball farther. They can do, but I'm a wise old man now, and I can figure out how to curve the ball around, the things I need to do to get up and down. It's really between the years, which we've talked about, Bobby Jones days. That's really the best distance we talk about in golf, is if you got your head straight and you know how to play the game of golf, you can score well. And that's what Tiger's doing now. He's figuring out, I hit it 302. And you know what? I'm 50th on tour or in a given tournament. Yeah. 302 doesn't do much for anybody anymore. So he's had to figure out how to play. And sure enough, he did. I kind of buried the lead there. He beat Hideki Matsuyama. He finished at 19 under, three-shot victory over Matsuyama, and Rory was right there behind him too. Rory was at 13 under, and he was the highest-ranked player going into this tournament. So Tiger beat a good field. Gary Woodland was playing there. Billy Horschel, I mean, very, very good golfers. This was not a split field kind of thing where he got to dominate. Spieth was playing, and Justin Thomas, Patrick Reed, so very good golfers were playing, and he beat them all once again.
Well, I used to say, tongue-in-cheek, old age and treachery far supersedes youth and arrogance. And his course management, and we talk about this show after show after show, about tempo, about playing, swinging within yourself, playing within yourself. Tiger's iron play, his driver and his three-wood work perfectly, at least 99.9% perfectly. His iron play was spot on. Now, the bunker shot that he had to end the tournament, basically, or next to the last hole, he didn't mean to spin that, I don't think, because when you listen to that shot, he got a little bit close to that ball. It could have ended up in the bleachers or in the the hospitality tent. But because I thought he meant to just chunk it out and let it run, but it didn't happen that way. It came out crisp and just checked up and stopped. But here's the question I have for you, Tim.
Sure.
Now, Gary Woodland played with him all 4 days. Gary Woodland, who we both know his parents, great young man, big stick.
Yeah,
Tiger didn't try to keep up with Gary Woodland. Tiger played within himself. He managed that golf course. He managed his game, and he managed Gary Woodland.
Right.
At Gary, on 18, when you look at Tiger makes his putt, Keegan doesn't putt out, which we'll talk about in a minute. Tiger makes the winning putt, steps back, kind of stoic, nice, you know, respectful wave to the crowd because you still had a player to finish. So he couldn't go exuberant and crazy. And Gary Woodland's kind of cutting his eyes looking at him and looking at him and looking at him until finally Tiger turns and acknowledges Gary. And then you see this big old grin on Gary's face, which is Gary Woodland. I mean, he's such a nice young man.
Well, think about this, too, is what was going on. There was a dynamic happening there more than just the more powerful guy and who's hitting the ball farther and whatnot. In that threesome, which was Gary Woodland and Keegan Bradley playing with Tiger, Gary Woodland is one of those guys wanting to play very desperately in the President's Cup.
Yes.
Never played nationally for the country before, Ryder Cup. So he's trying to impress the captain while he's also trying to beat Tiger to say, hey, pick me, pick me, pick me. And what an opportunity. You're right there in front of the guy that you need to impress for most of the tournament. And so there was, I think, a lot of dynamics that were happening there that went well beyond just who's making putts and who's not. It's, do I get along with them? Am I friendly or am I not? What's Tiger kind of looking for? Because I think everybody acknowledges it. And Gary had a good finish, by the way. You know, shot a 70 in his final round, 12 under.
Yeah.
So he was a tie for fifth. Had a good tournament. But does he have to do anything special? Did he have to? I mean, I think there would be. What do I do? Do I impress Tiger? Do I shut up? Do I walk away? How do I treat him if I'm going to get picked?
That could be
he's going to have to like me, you know?
That could be part of it. But here's
interesting.
And you see Tiger walk over to him, and Tiger's smiling and sort of chuckling and whispers in his ear, and Gary starts laughing. One or two things could have been said. He could have said, well, now there are only going to be three picks, Gary, you know, which I'm picking myself, basically. Or he could have said, that'll teach Keegan Bradley to not putt out and get out of my way next time.
because now, to be honest, it wasn't a winning putt. He just was a finishing putt. He had a three-shot lead, right?
Well, it wasn't a winning putt to win, to speak.
It was his final putt.
But it was his final putt, and it was Tiger Woods.
He should have
putted out.
Gotten out of the way, I think so.
I don't know.
That's one of those things that's kind of discretionary, and I think if you talk to players, they probably don't care one way or the other. They understand that
for TV.
And Keegan's – in Keegan's case, he's trying to make a putt. He's trying to make money, right? Every putt you miss, if he were to miss it, probably would have cost him $75,000 or whatever. So they understand that, you know, if you got to take a minute and get rid, they're okay, I think, with that. But it does take away the drama.
Yeah,
if you're a fan watching at home, it's kind of like, Tiger wins! Oh, hang on a second.
Hold on.
Know, let's wait for Keegan.
Well, and Keegan, to be honest and fair here, Keegan Bradley is one of the nicest guys out there also. So I don't think he did it out of... You know, Tiger might have said, you know, Keegan might have said, you want me? And Tiger said, no, go ahead. No, whatever. Or no, I'll finish. You don't know what happened
there. Keegan, and Keegan might have had to do what he had to do, right? And Keegan's a very, I don't say slow, but he's a deliberate
methodical
golfer, right? He's not a fast guy anyway. So if that was his normal procedure, then I think Tiger's going, you do what you got to do. But, you know,
Tiger
I'm winning
Woods,
anyway. So it's going to delay a little bit. Okay.
Tiger Woods. Out of 359 events, let's look at this, honestly, he's won 82.
Okay.
That's 22.8% career win percentage. That's huge. That's enormous.
Yeah.
He's made...
Do you know what Jack is?
I don't know Jack.
What is 12.
Jack? 12%. Okay.
12.
Yeah. So Tiger is just way past everybody.
Freddie Couples in the Hall of Fame, 3%.
What?
A lot of guys in the Hall of Fame... Won 6%,
5%,
8% of their
the
tournaments.
I don't see that on my notes.
No.
You've been doing research.
I just
Paul Stankowski called you and filled you in on that, didn't he?
Stanky gave me all the research. Went on for hours.
Win percentage with the outright 54-hole lead across the tour average, 44% in the last decade. Tiger Woods, 96% PGA Tour career.
Yeah.
96%.
And I think he's 25 of 25, I saw this stat on TV, when he has a three-shot or more lead going into the final round, which he did going into this final round at Zozo. Three-shot lead or better, he never loses.
Yeah. We're not going to bore our listeners
with
all
to watch
stats. There's just a few interesting things.
But it's interesting stuff.
But and then how many cuts, consistent or consecutive cuts made did Tiger have? 100 and...
Frank, I can tell you this, 42.
142? There's a better stat than that out there, and it happens to be on the LPGA Tour, and that's Jane Blaylock.
Oh.
Yeah.
How long did she go?
299.
Whoa.
299.
That is a bigger number.
That's a big number. Interviewed her once, and I said, Jane, what do you remember most about that run? She said, number 300. Just that plane.
That she missed.
300.
Yeah.
I missed it.
Yeah, probably.
So,
well, Tiger, but just to mention that, that's 7 years of making cuts.
Yes, seven straight years.
7 years of making cuts, and people today, if you make 20 straight cuts, that's you're doing great.
I mean, well, what is the record right now? Who holds cuts. It? What is the record?
I don't
who
know.
Holds it for our listeners?
It
send
can't
us,
be.
Send
it
us
can't
a tweet.
Be
tell us.
More than can't yeah. be more than 30.
Send yeah, us a tweet.
I can't imagine
tell
it's
us.
More than 30. Because even these top golfers, if you're Dustin, if you're Jordan, any bring up any of the top 25, 50 golfers. Again, those guys will not go more than 20 tournaments without me. Yeah. And I think a lot of times they won't even get double digits, right? They'll maybe get to 10 straight tournaments, maybe 12, but that's about it. And they miss a cut because of whatever the reason. Yeah. They're not feeling good. It's just not happening for them. You know, Tiger would, and a lot of these guys, Frank, and I don't disparage him, but a lot of these guys, if it's not going to happen for them, right, they open with a 78 and they come back with a – they kind of withdraw, right? They kind of go, okay, well, I got a little tweak here. Maybe they do. You know, I got a little shoulder this or that. Tiger, I think,
never
would gut out, if you asked him, of those 7 years, I bet you he gutted out not feeling right, got a flu, got something going on, a bunch of times where he just wanted to make the cut. He wasn't saying, you know, it's not happening for me this week. He knew, probably, like a lot of guys, on Friday, I'm not going to win this tournament. I mean, I'm barely going to make the cut, but I'm already 10 back. But you still made the cut. Tiger still made the cut. Whereas a lot of guys today go, why am I going to play this weekend?
Well, over those years.
Caddy and everything else.
Over those years, those 7 years, the period of time which ran from what to what, we need to look at, because I haven't yet, and I should have. But was his father still alive during those years? That would be an interesting overlay for that. Because I know when my dad was around, you know, I wanted to.
Different mindset?
Yeah, absolutely. There was a different mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was scared to death.
What do you think about the significance of 82?
No, my dad was great. I'm kidding. The significance of 82 is a big number. Sam Snead will tell you it was 100 for him, but it was 82 PGA Tour sanction.
Because Sam couldn't count?
Yeah, well, whatever. But whatever. 82
didn't count
is
those
a
little
big,
four-ball
big,
tournaments.
Big number that won't happen. Roy McIlroy
most
was
ever.
Asked.
Yeah, most ever.
Yeah, Roy was asked about that, and he said, I'd have to win six times for the next 10 years. Six times a year for the next 10 years. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's just, that's huge.
It is. I mean, for those guys, because I think if number two active behind is Phil, right? And Phil still isn't at 50?
No.
Am I right in this? Phil at 48, 49, somewhere around there?
Yep.
Not even at 50 yet. And certainly Phil's not going to win 30 more tournaments. So that just tells you. And Phil's had a phenomenal career. Yeah. That tells you, if any of those guys, if you mention it to JT, Dustin, and those top guys, you talk about Rory, Koepka, what number, if they could get to 25 or 30 wins, they would be ecstatic.
Oh, my God.
If they could get that many tournament victories. Because they all go into this, and most of these guys in the last 10 years, getting under the tour, they just wanted to win, A. Then, like Bubba, boy, if I could win 10, that's just a dream. And I never got there. Remember how Bubba kind of broke down when he got to 10? Because he thought, I'll never get to 10. There's no chance that I'll ever get to. And Bubba's won 10 tournaments. So for all those guys, they're in the same mindset. Even if you're a great, great player and a Ryder Cupper and all that other stuff, if you can get to 10 victories, oh, my God, maybe 20, 25 would be out of this. They don't even dream about 82. I mean, I don't think they even – it's not even a thought on their radar. They just know there's not a chance I'm going to get to 82. And that's because Tiger would go year after year winning 6, 7, 8, 9 times every year, every year, every year. We've talked about Jordan Spieth ad nauseum. Hasn't still won since the 2017 British Open. Still hasn't won again. And that tells you how tough it is to win. And certainly he's had his issues and problems, and normally he wouldn't go that long without a win. It's hard to win. To do it 82 times with the competition he had to face, and some of those victories were dramatic, making putts and all the things he had to do. We forget what a clutch putter Tiger was. Maybe probably the best ever. When he needed to make putts, he would pull those out and make putts. And it wasn't always for a Masters or a U.S. Open. He made dramatic putts to win on the PGA Tour, just to win another tournament. And I think at some point it became not really about the money and all that other stuff that comes along with it and hardware. He just had pride. He wanted to win, right? He's one of those Michael Jordan kind of guys that I don't care if you and I are playing. I want to beat you. And that's his mindset. He just wanted to keep winning. It's a different mindset, I think, today. You know, I don't know that a lot of those guys have that fire burning like Tiger did, that made them just want to win at all costs, just win a tournament. I think they can accept the fact that they can win occasionally, miss some cuts occasionally, and they've got a pretty darn good life still. So I don't know that they quite have the same. And I'm not trying to be derogatory against today's players. I just don't know if they have that fire going, because it's a rare, rare athlete that has that.
Here's your number. Tiger, with 359 starts, has 82 wins. Sam Snead had 585 starts with 82 wins.
Was that 200 more starts or so?
Yeah. Well, almost, yeah. Exactly. So Sam Snead's win percentage was 14%. Yeah. Tiger's is 22.8. Yeah. The closest person to him, again, with minimum of 200 starts, keep in mind, the closest person to Tiger Woods is Ben Hogan. Ben had 300 starts and 64 wins with a 21.3% winning average. So
I've never seen that. What's his percentage?
21.3%. Now, that's based on a minimum of 200 starts. So he's right there with
Tiger. That's right behind Tiger.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Byron Nelson, 18.1.
Well, it helps when you win 18 in a year, right? The 1 year.
How appropriate, 18.
He won 11. He won 11 in a row. Yeah, and 18 in 1 year. That kind of helps.
Yeah, you think?
I mean, that 1 year, Frank, seriously, how many did he play? He couldn't have played more than 25 or 30 tournaments. He won 18 of them. Yeah, I mean, that year, he won 79% of the events he was in. So,
well, at the bottom, bottom of this list is Dr. Kerry Middlecoff with 346 starts. He won 39 times for an 11.3% winning percentage. Gene Sarazen right above that, 12%. Jack Nicklaus, 12.2%.
Kerry Middlecoff won 39 times on the PGA Tour?
Yes. Gene Sarazen won 38.
I would never have guessed that Middlecoff won 39 times.
Well, here's
times.
A name
That's
for
a
you.
Big number two.
Henry Picard. What? Henry Picard won 26 times.
Golly.
Yeah.
Dr. Kerry Middlecoff. Was it like, was the field like 12 people back then?
No, I don't think
guys
so.
Weren't that much. I really didn't know that those guys that I thought I would have known, most of the people that have won around 40 tournaments would have all been the Hogans and Nelsons, you know, those kind of guys. I didn't know that Kerry Middlecoff had won 39 times. Because I think Trevino only won in the 20s, didn't he? 29,
I'd like to see the full list
like
of this. Again, these are my notes from Pontevedra. So the tour sends us, which is great. Thank you, PGA Tour staff, for all this great information. Dave Logue, our executive producer.
Hey, let's talk about the President's Cup.
No,
Frank.
No.
We mentioned that earlier.
Let's skip that.
And I think it's a guarantee that Tiger.
I'm going.
The Tiger's going to put his name on there, right?
You think?
I mean, there's no way he won't now.
Why would he not?
We wondered if he would. Yeah.
Why would he not?
Did you see his quote afterwards? They asked him about that afterwards as well, and he said, "He goes, well, the captain, the President's Cup captain, definitely
has,
or the player definitely caught the eye of the captain, or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
One guy saw the other. It's the same guy. So yeah. So I think it's a foregone conclusion. The Tiger's the one guy.
I think it's great for the game.
Tony Finau, Gary Woodland. You know, I mean, I think you're down to one maybe questionable guy, because I think Finau just missed, and I think they quite often they pick the guy who's number 9 or 10 right in points, and that's Finau. So I think he'll be there, and he's been very good and played Ryder Cup. I think you're going to get Gary Woodland, and I think Tiger got impressed by him this weekend, and U.S. Open defending champion and all that. So you're looking at, you know, one guy. There's going to be one opening for Ricky Lee. I mean, Ricky Fowler.
Ricky Lee. Ricky Fowler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, whoever else that, you know, you might be looking at to put in there, and one spot, so it's going to be competitive. Yeah,
it really
he's
is.
Play, and that's going to be interesting.
It's going to be
interesting.
It's going
to be
great
player,
down there.
Player captain.
Well,
how does he do that, Frank?
Harwin. That was it for that. So
only time it's ever happened.
Yep.
Yeah, for President's Cup.
Exactly.
I mean, but you know what? When you see the captains, Frank. I mean, they've got the earpiece in. They're listening, obviously, to their co-captains and the other guys, the alternate that are around the course, giving you updates, because it's golf. It's not football.
Right?
It's not all right
there
in front of you. It's
you don't know what they're listening
to. It's all over the – it's all they're listening to something. But it's all over the place, so you've got to be aware of that. How do you do that if you're playing?
Well, your assistant captains, your assistant captains. And you're not playing,
you're not playing the entire time.
You're playing a match, and then you're done. So,
But you're a lot busier than you would be if you weren't playing, right? You don't have the earpiece in. You're not focusing on that. And at the same time, who do you pair yourself with? I mean, I'm just thinking of all the different dynamics going on here. Who do you pair yourself with, right, when you're going to play? You pick, I'm playing with Justin Thomas. I'm playing, And so is there going to be any ill will of how that happens because Tiger's got to place himself in the middle of all these things? What pod is he going
to
be in?
Listen to yourself. How can there be any ill will toward anything Tiger Woods does anymore? If there is in that in that team room, they need to leave because
ill will may be the wrong word, but I'm saying if you're put with the wrong guy, right? If you're Patrick Reed and you want to be playing with so and so and Tiger puts you with someone else and Tiger plays with the guy you want to play with, is Patrick Reed or somebody else going to go, "Well, that's the guy I want to play," you know? It could happen. It happens without Tiger Woods being in the middle of it. I'm just saying, as a captain, you've got to deal with that kind of stuff. But normally you're removed from it because I'm a captain. So you guys go play. But now you're in the middle of the whole thing because you're actually playing.
Well, that's a good point. I mean,
you're scoring. What if you're not winning, right? What if you're Tiger, Frank, and you lose your first two matches? Do you take yourself out? Do you keep putting yourself
in to come back and
win? Like,
I think Tiger's going to do what's best for the team, period. And he said that.
Yeah.
I think he will, and he's also said that all the other players on this team, all the other team members, have a say in what they're going to do. So it's not going to be an authoritative dictatorship. It's going to be a representative republic. democracy, whatever it's going to be.
Something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. But ultimately, it still comes down to the captain, right? Ultimately, he's got to make a call on who's doing what when or who's sitting out. We saw that the Ryder Cup when certain guys were resting, right? And you're like, do you rest those guys? And remember, Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth were playing well, so they kept playing.
Yeah.
But they rested. I think Phil didn't play for, two or three straight matches. Remember how Phil kind of was on the sideline for a while? I mean, it's not an easy job.
Well, you remember Hal
saying.
Sutton
I'm not saying that there's
in that Ryder Cup controversy. Yeah. And, you know, he basically went away from golf after that. It really affected him adversely.
So. Yeah. Yeah, because Tiger's going to have to sit there in the press conferences afterwards and answer both as a, put two different hats on, quite literally, and answer as a player, and then as a captain, what did you think about how you played? Or, so it's going to be an interesting, I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be really fascinating to see how it all plays out. And by the way, President's Cup used to be kind of like Ryder Cup back in the day where it was kind of a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, rubber stamp.
President's Cup's gotten much more competitive.
Yes, it has.
You know? That international team is not just, U.S. shows up and they win. So there might be some real drama there.
We'll get our buddy Elkington on to talk about that before long, next week or so, and have that discussion. That'll be discussion for another time. Congratulations, Tiger Woods. Great win, number 82. Thanks for everything you do, Tiger Woods, because you were so much fun to watch this weekend. You certainly made the World Series second fiddle in this house, I'll tell you that. And in Earl Forsey's house, probably that too. I don't know. But let's move on to a media story that's huge.
Okay.
And I'm not going to go with what you think I'm going with. I think we talked about in pre-show. We can't bring that up on the air, but there's another big media story in the Congress. But this story has to do with Gary McCord, for one. Let's take him on first. It's been announced over the weekend now that Peter Costas and Gary McCord will no longer be on the CBS golf team.
I did not hear that.
They're gone.
Wow.
Their contracts will not be renewed. So
Gary McCord and Peter Costas.
Yeah. I mean, now Costas, I love Peter Costas. I mean, he was doing those commercials and he has great analytics on the course. He's a great instructor. Gary McCord is the best comic relief you could ever have, except he also has one hell of a lot of knowledge, golf knowledge. So those two guys are gone from CBS. Don't know what the thinking is there in the Columbia Broadcasting System, but wow.
Huh.
That would be like dropping
Are they going
Faraday.
Somewhere else?
Oh, wait a minute. Faraday left CBS and went to NBC,
what I'm saying. I wonder is there something else happening, right? You got
Don't
Fox
know.
And NBC.
You got Fox. Well, you got NBC has,
Well, I'm just saying, if there's an opening, if there somebody else is going to be leaving,
But
McCord and Faraday played off each other quite a
perfectly,
bit, right?
Perfectly. But
so
Fox
once
could
they
use
split up
Gary McCord
a couple years ago.
Fox needs the help. Yeah. They could use a Gary McCord, and they could use a Peter Costas, both.
So you didn't hear whether it was a mutual thing or one of them had
didn't
another gig or they just wanted
Golf
to move
Week,
in a different direction?
Golf Week broke the story first part of the weekend. I read it, and I was like, I haven't made any phone calls yet. I was going to do that today and just ask some folks.
Interesting.
But, so those guys are gone. So,
and nothing about who's replacing them
yet
either?
No, nothing yet. Not that I've seen. Now, there may be something this morning that we haven't had an opportunity to look at. But, no, that was a shocker to me because that. What else do you have at CBS? You got Jim Nantz.
Well, you got Nantz. You got Faldo. I mean, you got the two big guys in your booth, and you got McAtee, and you got Vern. I mean, you got a lot of the guys still there. I mean, that's two of them
that
are gone.
You're a CBS Sports
guy. Those are also,
I mean, you know.
My guess would be a couple of things.
Make a phone call.
Yeah,
here's
your
opening.
It's going to be me. I'll let you know.
You should be on course for CBS.
We're keeping it really tight-lipped here. Lance Barrow. I guess it's probably Lance's call.
Well, you would think. Yeah,
but here's my guess is that, you know, you're talking about two of the older guys, and not that you can replace somebody because of age, but at some point people move on, right? They just do. Even Pat Summerall at some point, being the icon of CBS Sports for a long time, had to move on, and they had to go to a different – because they're like, okay. And if their audience is leaning older in a network standpoint, I can speak to that. That's a concern that they have, and it's not just these two guys. If your audience starts getting older and older, then you want to get some young – then they're going to want to say, okay, we need – who's some good young analysts that are going to be out there? McCord will be replaced by, and I'm guessing, but a 40-ish kind of guy. A Paul Stankowski kind of guy is going to replace Gary McCord because they're going to get 30 years younger. Yeah. And get some new young blood in there. And same thing with – if you're Peter Costas, and you and I have walked golf courses, but when you do that for 4 days, Frank –
It's tough.
Peter Costas is 70-something years old. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And you're carrying those packs. You've seen them before.
Yes.
The headphones, the battery pack. And all. You're carrying the clipboard, the stuff on
everything. The
clipboard. Your caddy.
Everything in the world, yeah.
Is that Gary McCord calling you?
That's Gary calling right now. Don't understand. Sorry about that. Good Lord. That's the somebody from St. Charles, Missouri is calling me.
That's CBS calling saying, hey,
shut up.
Stop talking about what we're doing here. We got
plans.
That
was a studio line, too. That's interesting.
Yeah. So, but I'm curious. But that would be my guess. You're going to get two younger guys. To whoever they are, they're going to go considerably younger, just some young blood, because somebody's looking at demographics and going, okay, well, we don't want our average viewer to be 64 years old. We'd rather him be 44 years old or something. So.
I just want you to know, the ringer was off on that phone, and it still rang. It's the new operating system update.
Yeah.
Not going to say the brand. Not going to say the brand, but I like to cut them up, and I like cinnamon apples too, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, yeah. Anyway.
Okay, so that was your one thing. You had two things you said.
Well, I said let's get with Gary, but I brought in Peter Costas. So that was the two.
Okay,
those
are the two things.
And then outside of that, we got Al Baghdadi, to get on a political note for a minute. The leader of ISIS is gone. So hopefully he's passed through judgment now and forever in the hinterlands or hinter underworld, whatever it is.
That was a very dramatic political thing.
And you saw it in President Trump's eyes, too, when he made the statement. He came on live yesterday morning. He'd been up all night. He'd been watching it. And he said it's like watching a movie. Because they're in the Situation Room, they're watching real time.
Cameras on these guys.
Yeah, what's going on?
Like
so they're seeing the guy running and people being shot, and that's—I don't know about you, Tim, but I've seen two people shot in my life, and it's not a good experience. It's just unpleasant. So even watching it on TV like that or on a video monitor.
Yeah, that.
But you're the man who sent him into harm's way too. And the dog, the one injury we had, and they haven't said yet, was one of our dogs that was chasing Al Baghdadi down that tunnel. That he was injured. Yeah. They didn't say he was killed, but he was injured. So, anyway, just wanted to bring that up because I think that's really important that we talk a little bit about that, and that there's a lot of evil in the world, and you know, golf and tennis and football and President's Cup and all this is a great relief
from that.
It's an oasis from that. And we get to do all this stuff because of what those guys did this weekend. What our men in uniform, Delta Force, and all did. So thank you, boys. We appreciate your service.
Very brave people.
Yep.
Yep, they do. Yeah, they're very, very, very brave people that keep us living the life that we live.
Yep.
So, yeah,
absolutely.
I think it's a good tribute for us to.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a good way to polish off the show. I think we said everything we're going to say here.
That's it. We have.
That's our military tribute, if you will.
It is. There'll be a more
not
military
at the,
tribute,
not
too.
At the Greenbrier.
Well, they'll be at the Greenbrier, too, but that's beside the point. The Veteran Golfers Association has their annual tournament coming up in a couple of weeks at the Greenbrier. So, Josh Payton, shout out to you boys. Good luck, and wish we could be there. It didn't work out. We were invited by the Greenbrier, but can't seem to be there, darn it. Other plans, but want to go back. It's a beautiful, beautiful spot.
Because you and Governor Justice are drinking buddies. So,
well, Governor Justice doesn't drink, but I made up for both of us in his box.
He drinks iced tea.
He does.
You drink something else.
He and his wife and his daughter, they're wonderful people. They really are. Yeah. Shout out to everybody at the Greenbrier. That was fun. Shout out to everybody at French Lick again, because the Senior LPGA Championship, Helen Alfredson was the winner, and we were there for that. That was a lot of fun. It's about the coldest I've ever been on a final round. But but the tournament is moving back to the summer next year. So we'll have a short tenure as the reigning champion before she has to defend.
Yeah.
And it'll be backed up against the Symetra Tour. So you'll have Symetra week off, then Senior LPGA. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So
you need to do that.
I'm going to stay up there. So.
Weather is unpredictable that time of year in Indiana.
It is. Well, it was all about the TV. But we're going to be doing it differently, and you need to come down because I'm going to be doing play-by-play on the feed. So I'll be out on the course, and so if you can get down there, we can put you on the front nine. I'll get on the back nine and put the headsets on, and we'll do our play-by-play.
For who?
It'll be broadcast.
Who are we broadcasting to?
We're streaming live worldwide.
It's going in-house to French Lick?
No, it's streaming worldwide. I can't tell you all the details. We'll get Sweeney on, Brendan Sweeney from the French Lick Resort, to tell you about it. But, it's going to be a new digital platform, much like PGA Tour Live is. Same thing. Same exact thing.
Oh, okay.
Going out the same way, be producing. Brian Hammonds will be in the booth for us, right from the Golf Channel. Remember Brian? He was the first man ever. Brian was with me. We met and had that. Fred Calgill, from Lexington. Yeah.
Louisville sportscaster there.
Yeah. So we're going to be
on the course. We'll be Peter Costas?
Well, we'll be Doug Bell and Fred Albers. You pick.
By
the way, before we go, saw a picture on Facebook Doug Bell sent out of he and Sam Snead together. And Doug.
Oh, really?
I didn't know you were ever that young. You look good. Look good.
What year did Sam Snead pass? Do you know?
I do not know.
Was it in the 60s, 70s, 70s?
No.
He lived a long life, didn't he?
No, yes, he lived a very long life.
He won like the 1932 Masters or something, so I mean, he was an older guy. Well, I know.
I don't know.
Maybe
70s? I should know that.
Yeah.
You know, it's never
How old did Doug Bell look? Like a teenager?
Doug looked good. Doug has always been an athlete and a broadcaster. He looked like a teenager.
Did he look like he's a teenager?
Yeah, I think maybe in his 20s, something like that.
Yeah.
There was a picture of him and Snead. You saw the picture of Tiger Woods with Snead, too, when Tiger was 6 years old.
Yeah.
Was it Coca-Cola or whatever he was drinking? Pepsi, Coke, whatever. Yeah. Who knows? But, that was cool. It's fun weekend,
good look,
man.
Right? That hat. The hat he had and everything.
Well, he always wore that hat. That was his. That was a good look. And then J.C. Snead, his nephew, always wore the plantation hat.
When did hats start coming in, Frank? We're going into random thoughts here. Because I remember you look at old things. You never saw Hogan in a hat. Right.
Well, Hogan always had the clip bill. He had the clip bill hat like Bryson DeChambeau wore.
He didn't always wear one, but he wore like the cabbie hat, like an English cabbie.
Yeah.
But he didn't always wear that at all. I mean, he had the slick back hair. A lot of those guys, Hogan and those guys, Nelson and those guys did not have hats on. Even Jack in the early days. Remember seeing Jack and Arnie?
Maybe we should get the official hat 60s, supplier of the PGA Tour on to talk
now
about
that. You can't find a guy. Who doesn't wear a hat? Isn't there just maybe one guy in the tour?
A couple of guys don't wear hats.
Who's that?
Johnson Wagner doesn't wear a hat, or didn't. He may be now, but Johnson Wagner didn't. He also shaved off his mustache. So there. News break.
Thank you. Yeah, he didn't do that. Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
But everybody wears a hat now. But back in the day.
I don't like hats. I don't wear hats.
I like Sam Snead.
I like a bucket hat if my face is really sunburned. But that's it. I just don't like a hat. I don't like that bill. It still, to me, distracts. I just don't have that solid a brain that will let me focus. So,
it's a good sun thing, that's for sure.
Went to the range, hit some balls yesterday at Bluegrass Yacht and Country Club, Club Corp. Thank you. And was striping the ball yesterday, man. I was ready to go play, and I didn't have time to go play.
So on the range. On the range.
And today, of course, it's Monday. The country clubs are closed. So I'm going to go to one of the Nashville Metro courses today with some friends and slap the ball around, have some fun.
Good for you.
Yeah.
There you go.
So it's going to be it's going to be a
we're
fun
done.
Day. Yeah, we are. Okay, let's get out of here. See
Tiger,
you. Bye bye.
Tiger Woods dominating once again. Wins the Zozo. And now, by the way, the next big event is the HSBC Champions, the World Golf Championships. Everybody heads to Shanghai. So we'll see what happens there. And after that, President's Cup will be named. So one more tournament before Tiger has to make the final call on that. We'll, of course, be talking about that on our next show. That should do it for us. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.